This is what you and I get to enjoy, is the strength of His salvation in us. Hallelujah. John said this, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was saying in Him was life, and the life was the light of man. In Christ was life, and that life was the light of man. And the light shone in darkness. That was your old, dead to Christ, alive to this world, going to hell, nature. The light shone in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, meaning it could not overtake it or stop it. And the law of the Spirit of life is this, that when you got ready to be born again, the darkness that was inside of you and the love of the world could not hold back the invasion of light that birthed you and gave you a born-again spirit and gave you the preeminence over all darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Him was life. Now the life is in you. Do you know what that means to us? To you, to me. It means I could have been messed up yesterday on my way to hell, in and out of crack houses. And I get born again tonight. I lived in the neighborhood where on this side they were coming and going, and they used to service me. I won't say much about the house next door, the way that the ladies make their money. The Domino's pizza guy would take him 30 minutes to walk from the curb to your house. But you know, the moment you get born again, you have something inside of you that is so dynamic that darkness couldn't keep it out. And if darkness couldn't keep it out, the law of the Spirit of life can dominate your life so strong that it's not a weak thing that we've become. We've become something that is the total image of God. You can go sit down in your house with this on your right hand, on that on your left, and it doesn't have to have one iota of influence on who you are. Oh, not a bit. You mean it can't come? No, no, no. It can't come. Not only on your property, it can't even come to where that has any bearing effect on your emotions. He may move you at some point out of there so you can go and preach the gospel or this, that, and the other. But you can walk and just worship Him and magnify Him. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life triumphs the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Listen, this is where David found his strength. David said, I can eat. Your strength's not proven when you're way away from your enemy and you enjoy your salvation. David said, you're the glory and the lifter of my head, and thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Whatever is around you to destroy you. In fact, your peace is really best appreciated when there's a lot of stuff out there that wants to consume you, and you can just sit down and enjoy your salvation. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I exalt you, Jesus. I exalt you. So come on. Come on. Let's just magnify Him for what we've become. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. What we've become. Hallelujah. We get to rule every day, every single hour of the day. Every hour of the moment, every hour of the month, every hour of the week, we get to rule and reign with Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. I praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I glorify you. I praise you, Jesus. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Why don't you just bless Him? Don't you just bless Him and thank Him for it? Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. I think we can sing that anytime you get ready. Man. Hallelujah. Let's just bless Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. I praise you, Jesus. I glorify you. I exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Magnify you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship you. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And when we do miss it, how many are glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Would you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2? We're going to continue to talk about the things that just be led by the Holy Spirit. Talk about some of the things that we were into last week. We want to talk about the hardened soldier. How many are getting ready with me to go into a place where we receive a great outpouring? Amen. So we're going to look at this in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And why don't you just kind of help me out by kind of blessing me in the Spirit, if you would, and holding me up in prayer. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I can do nothing of myself, but I can do all things through Christ. So I look to that gentleman, the precious Holy Spirit, the one who is our teacher, our lead, our guide, our perfecter in all things. And Father, I thank you for the one who comes to teach us your word, which is truth, that you'll lead us and guide us into all truth. And I thank you, Father, for your graciousness, for your peace and your glory over this body now, preparing us for the days ahead. And this service is yours. Miracles, whatever you want to do, Lord. Physical bodies being healed right now. Lord, things that are against the mind, I call them free in the name of Jesus. Those whose minds are cloaked in darkness, Father, I call them free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The days are coming. The days now are. They pull on the parking lot grounds and their minds begin to wake up. Hallelujah. You can tell when the mind begins to wake up in a spiritual way. The people come in, they'll be all distracted. And then you'll see them. The Holy Spirit starts getting a hold of them. They start coming out of the fog. They didn't even know they were in the fog. The worst thing about the fog is you don't know you're in it until you get out of it. Hallelujah. A lot of times those spirits that wrap up the mind, you heard He's as close, Jesus is as close as the mention of His name. They can be too if you don't know it. You just go from one train of thought to the next without patterns being broken. But Jesus is the one to get you to start thinking outside of the box. Hallelujah. Satan wants to put you in a box called prison. Prison of the mind. But thank God that the Holy Spirit wants to come and will come and is coming on the basis of His Word to make us soldiers. Not hardened criminals, but hardened soldiers. You know, the stronger that you get, the more able you are as an able-bodied minister for Him. But besides for that, the stronger you get, the less effective anything that your arch rivalry, which is Satan, throws at you will have any bearing effect on you. The hardness that is a word used here in this text of Scripture means to toughen up or to callous up. There's a hardening in the spirit that we certainly don't want you to become a part of, and that's when your tenderness towards the Holy Spirit, that you begin to be deafened, a deafening process. You can't hear what He's trying to get across to you and say to you. But that's in that realm where you begin to resist God and live out of the flesh. But when you live out of the Spirit and you work with the Holy Spirit and work with His Word, and the Holy Spirit can come and lay something on you, what He'll do is, His number one objective is to train you into a place where you get really unattached to anything that the enemy can levy against you. You know, once you really get into a place where you're walking right where the Master wants you to walk, the enemy is really, is at a detriment. Blatant attacks really don't have an effect on you. He's really got to come and use something that is so, it's so disguised that it'll eventually, over a series of appointments and a long-standing time events, is the way that he usually gets well-meaning, real earnest people like yourself. If he can ever get them off course, it takes time. But the stronger you are in the Word, boy, you become something that he really doesn't want to mess with. And the more you can attain and retain your peace. Your peace. So let's pick it up here in chapter 2, verse 1. We were here last week, and we're going to go to several different scriptures here, hopefully. Verse 1 of chapter 2, 2 Timothy says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in grace," the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Well, we've been learning for quite a while around here something about that grace, and I think as we continue to study these scriptures, we're going to try to dig deep into the different colorations and the rainbow effect of what grace really stands for in our life. Verse 2 says, "In the things that thou hast heard of me," that was Paul, "among many witnesses," he said, "I spoke these things to you among many witnesses, the same doctrine commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." And this is the propagation of sound doctrine, that if you find somebody who's really earnest towards the Word, and you can impregnate their spirit in that sense of the Word, if you can say that word, if you can put that seed in there and just continue to nurture it, then eventually, whether male or female, they become tremendous candidates for their ability to disciple and to give strength to the rest of the body of Christ. And those of you that are hearing my voice, rather His voice, and becoming revivalist, and that's not a term that I use frivolously, but it's a term that I really mean, people that are moving in with God and taking His Word so seriously that you're listening to these things that He's speaking on Wednesday nights and on Sunday mornings when He's coming so strong, preparing us for the days ahead. He says that these can be committed to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And there's that word that I mentioned earlier, hardness. Hardness here is not a negative thing towards you, but it's something that once the enemy comes, or once life levies all of its emotions against you, the more that you're able to endure, not through physical or mental toughness, but the more that you're able to endure with the Word of God. Now, we said last week, repetition alone, just going through something over and over, won't get you ready for warfare. In fact, it'll weaken you if you're not doing something about changing the circumstances around you with the Word of God. So the hardness that he's talking about is, there's no virtue in the attack. people have said for years, I've heard different people say, not too many in this congregation, oh, thank God for the trial. That's a misnomer. It's wrong. Don't say it. Don't thank Him for the trial. The Word doesn't teach you that He's the one that sends the trial. Thank God for the grace in the midst of the trial. Thank God that, see, the trial is meant to destroy you. You won't develop any spiritual muscles for the trial. People go crazy with the world goes crazy with trials. The world goes bankrupt with trials. The world dies with trials. Cancer is a trial. If you worship Him and thank Him for it, it'll eat your body up and eventually you may die. But you have this access, the pressure by the Word of God, or the accessibility of the Word of God applied against the attack, is what you can thank Him for, is the grace. You can thank Him like this. You can thank Him that you have the opportunity to apply His Word. Because the opportunity to apply His Word will teach you patience. And in the midst of that patience, as you're applying His Word, something develops. You develop a hardness. You develop a spiritual aptitude, muscular strength in the spirit. Oh, Eric's training. He's getting ready for college football. But every one of us are training in the spiritual realm. We have to come to a place where we realize if we're going to get to revival, we've got to put on some spiritual muscle and cut off some spiritual fat, some flab. Excuse me. But he said, develop a hardness here as a good soldier. And this is what he says. In fact, beginning in verse 4 and going on down through the next few verses, 4 through 6, he begins to tell you the remedy or the wherewithal, to develop this hardness. What's the mindset? How do I develop a hardness? Do I thank God for what I'm going through so it'll kill me? No. But he's telling us here that there is a mindset to develop so that you can get ready for whatever the enemy throws at you and not survive it, but come through teaching others. This is not a survival. This is not a survival mode that we're in. See, if we get in a survival mode, we're whipped. Let's come together. Let's see if we can keep everybody together. And let's see if we can keep people from falling. My God, that's not what Christ left. He didn't leave a survival mode. He didn't leave like, let's all try to stay saved. It's much more than that. It's something that is so powerful that it'll become so prolific. Revival will be born out of it. If you can be able to teach other people, this is the way I came through it. I didn't survive it. I whipped it. I won it. He won it in me. Hallelujah. This is the remedy or the mindset. He says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Hallelujah. So he said the first thing you've got to realize is this. See, now the Romans realized this, and this drove home to them. The Roman soldier, when he was employed in the If he went in as a single man forever, however long his tenure was, he could not marry, he could not have a husbandry of he could not have any private enterprise during that time. He was a soldier, and that was it. And Paul says here, he doesn't say to Timothy and to all those that Timothy will teach, he doesn't say that you can't conduct civilian affairs. In fact, that's what it says. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of civilian life. See, the mindset is what enables you. The mindset that the Holy Spirit is trying to get over to you is this. I can't afford to let an entanglement, which is what? An entanglement is a subtle distraction that comes to me that keeps my going forward or abates or kind of slows down my going forward in Christ. Now, here's the difference. The Holy Spirit is the only one qualified to personally help you understand what is the difference between a subtle distraction and all the myriad of things that I really need to be doing as a mommy, as a daddy, as a pastor, as a friend, as a person in the community? What do I need to be doing? The subtlety of the enemy is this, is to disguise and infiltrate in the flow of everything that is natural, something so disguised that its entanglement is a distraction without being noticed. Do you understand that? Rex, you can pull it down just a couple. His ideology, his genius is this, is that in the flow, in the mix, we subtly believe that it is our part to kind of take on the care of what is being given to us. Eventually, through the person of the Holy Spirit and our prototype, which is Jesus Christ, it's not me, we have a great teacher at the helm, don't we? If we keep our eyes on Him, we won't become entangled so that we get slow, that we slow down. Because no matter what the enemy brings, there's a grace that it's supposed to, if we stay intact with Jesus Christ, it's never supposed to slow us down. Hallelujah. So the mindset is here, I belong to Him. So on a daily basis, what I'm supposed to be doing is presenting myself to Him and saying, Jesus, my communion is on this basis, that I'm communing with You, whether it's being the Word, or worship, or that powerful, wonderful gift of praying in tongues, that you are illuminating me of the shroud that is coming to cloak my life so subtly that I don't even know it's a shroud. I don't even know it. And nobody can tell me. And nobody's really qualified except Jesus Christ. Because if I stood there and said, don't do this, don't do that, I'd probably miss it, and I don't have that right in your life. But I'm telling you this, that Paul warned Timothy, and he's warning us, that those that are on this journey to go into God, you have one moderator, you have one keeper, His name is Jesus, and you're submitting yourself to Him as a good soldier. He's the one who cuts off the entanglements. So this is the mindset. The next thing he said was, he says, no man that strives, and if a man strives for the mastery, that's an Olympic gold medalist that the Grecians knew, began in Greece, the Greeks started it, the Romans picked it up when they conquered ancient Greece. And he says, the gold medalist, he's not crowned. Theirs was not a gold medal, it was just a little wreath, just on olive leaves, I guess. It's a long ways from today. He says he's not crowned except he strive lawfully. We said last week, we're going to have to move on here, but he said basically he's not in the game unless his heart is in it. Unless his heart is in it. See, the thing that will make you a good soldier, a strong soldier, is if here's the thing, you're a miserable human being. If you straddle the line, you get to heaven. But if you don't dive completely in and say, I'm going for the gold. If you go for the gold, here's what you get. You get the mastery of the Holy Spirit coming to you on a daily basis and snipping off all of the things that just so slowly try to mirage themselves into your life that you can't even see. You get that access. You get His grace that empowers you, that Paul began to say in the first part of this chapter, that we consider His grace. You get that. But the moment that your heart's not sold into it, the moment that your heart wants to flirt a little bit with the world, you lose access to those kind of things, and then you're pulled into it. Paul says here also that the husbandman, that's the keeper of the vineyard, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. Again, he's saying this, Listen, the soldiers among you that he's speaking to, that the word's speaking to presently, drink the wine. What does that mean? Stay in communion. We're not going to affect Immokalee or the world around about us unless we are continually being replenished. He says, the keeper of the vineyard must be first partaker. The blind that will see, the lame that will walk, the deaf that will hear, will be of no consequence to me. Hallelujah. Do you understand what that means? Meaning this, that God's not going to sell you and me down the river so He can get somebody healed. Do you know how much you mean to Him? He wants you on a continual basis to be being nurtured by this vineyard, so much so that you're getting everything that you're going to give out. Hallelujah. You can't give it away enough. Glory be to God. You can't give it away that it doesn't come back to you if you're drinking from it continually. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Woo, that's good stuff. Hallelujah. Pour me another glass of that. That's something that we can become intoxicated on and feel very good about it. What are these entanglements? 1 Peter chapter 5. We just looked at the remedies of being a good soldier, the mindset there. Let's look at 1 Peter. We've looked at this before, but this is a verse that's well worthy of our attention as good soldiers. In fact, I think you need to just turn to that beautiful or handsome person next to you and say, I want you to know something. Could you tell them this? I want you to know something. I am a serious soldier. You're looking at a serious soldier. Hallelujah. Glory. Look at this, verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care. Now, you need to underscore the word care, because it is the word distraction. This is what Paul is describing in 2 Timothy chapter 2, entanglements are a distraction. Okay, this is tremendously profound. So hang on. The distraction is in the distraction. Wow. That was so powerful. And it's just, you know, I know you just got drunk on that knowledge. The distraction is in the distraction. Meaning it is so subtle that even when you see it, you don't account it as. You may be working with the situation at hand, but unless the mindset clicks inside of you that I'm a soldier and this is something that has the potential to take me out of the process, the distraction is obviously part of, I mean, that's what it's intended for. And this is what Paul said here in verse 7. He says, cast all of your distractions upon Him, for He careth for you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a high priest that cares for us? Be sober. Now here's more instruction. Be sober. Why? Well, to start with, the distraction is an intoxication. Like what kind of distraction? We're going to get to that in a minute. Be sober. Be vigilant, meaning the more ongoing, the more diligent you are in the things that you know, the less accessible you are to the enemy's attack on your life. So go forward. He says, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, hallelujah for grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And I can't wait till we get more and more settled in the days ahead. Hallelujah. Are you settled? Yeah, I'm settled. I see settlement in a lot of you. But I'm telling you, the settlement that he's bringing us into is based on what he's summing here, but the God of all grace. And we're going to really look. I know the Holy Spirit is taking. I was talking to somebody last night about the grace of God, and the Holy Spirit's talking to us and talking to me about that grace. I'll tell you what we're going to come to. We're going to come to an ever-evolving revelation of this grace, because in the days ahead, it's not only going to be, it's going to be a joy. It's going to be a joy to be able to go into the enemy's camp and just take from him and know that we are targeted. And yet, you see, look, when you are pursuing Christ and His blessing of peace is on you, there's nothing inside of you in your flesh that wants to acknowledge that the enemy's also coming to destroy your life. That's where most people that's where they get blindsided, because they receive the spiritual blessing at the moment and they never walk in to the aptitude of Christ's character. And rabbit starts won't help you. Those kinds of moments and times where you get what it feels like a great surge of strength, and you just get so excited, you just want to run forward and go forward, and you're real encouraged. That's wonderful. But rabbit starts and rabbit finishes are not the way the kingdom is conducted. It's in a mannerism of Christ in you, the hope of glory, learning that His grace. You don't have to be walking around always conscious of the devil, but you have to walk in such a place that I am a soldier and I'm showing up knowing that if I keep my mind on Him, I also am apt to, my aptitude is this. There's an enemy out there that I'm not going to be surprised at when he comes to destroy my life. I'm not going to be offended. A lot of Christians get offended at God because they were enjoying life last week and the devil shows up this week. And the offense is, I can't believe this. Listen, revivalist, I hope all of you are with me when it happens. I believe most of you will be. I'm going to say all of you will be. Hallelujah. But I can tell you this, between this point and that point, there's a whole lot of fighting that goes on. Not between us, but between here and there. There's a warfare to be won, but it can be a good warfare. It can be one that's already settled before we get there. Hallelujah. And if we go into it knowing that we're going to get hit. See, the guy that I'm going to do this, when I get in there, what I'm going to do is, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to jap slap him, and I'm going to spin, and I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do this move on him. And then the moment you step in there and you get hit, then the plan's all. When your eyes are real blurry, see, we saw Sunday night that one of the greatest teams that's ever been. They looked human because somebody else had a plan too. We've got a plan. Wouldn't it be so easy if there just wasn't any devil? Oh my God. We would already have the revival. Because, see, not only do we have to receive wisdom from the Father, walk in, this continual ongoing process of death to the nature of the flesh. And then there's this other crazed idiot that's out there. Say, aren't you scared to call him that? No, look, he knows that I'm against him, and I know he's against me. And whatever he can do, he'd already done. Are you scared? No, but I'm inside Christ. Hallelujah. And I don't plan on going anyplace else. And Christ would have liked to have just done it all over. You know, he'd have liked to have got it done. But as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, Christ believes that he's given us everything to walk into this and to get healed in our bodies, to stay free in our minds, and stay free of distractions. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
So he says, cast all your distractions. Well, what distractions? We're not nearly going to get to where I wanted to go tonight, but old familiar Mark chapter 4, this is what all distractions are, and this is what they're all about. This is why Mark chapter 4, verse 14, how many love the Word of God? I hope you develop a serious hunger for the Word of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If we have a lot of Bible-based people that's part of the nucleus of this, you know, there's been other movements. I'm not talking about revival. There's been other movements that they weren't real word strong. You know, the tendency is, God bless them, flaky. The Word will keep you. Now, the Word won't inhibit great, notable miracles. I mean, but you know, little kids walking again, that trumps to me angel dust.
Oh, yeah.
It trumps angel dust.
Oh, yeah.
getting a little Down syndrome, little boy healed up here would trump feathers coming down in the auditorium. Or people saying, you know, oil is just, you know, if the oil is from the Holy Spirit, then that oil is supposed to, it's got a purpose. There's nothing that he does just to, for us to go, oh. All of the signs were to heal people's bodies or to cast out devils. He never did anything inadvertently to say, oh. The signs were people getting healed. Well, I know there was some bleeding hands. Well, how many people got healed? God bless them. It's just, you know, and there's some precious people that believe that, but it's devils. It's just devils. And they want, but you know, the Word of God will give you a strong base. It's doctrine. How many are glad for doctrine?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, this is why distractions come. And this is why he says, be a good soldier. Now, Jesus taught his disciples from the beginning part of chapter 4, but we're just going to, you know, we're going to go down halfway here because we're pressed for time. He said in verse 13, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Now, this gives you an understanding of the preeminence or the posture of this parable. When he does say this, he's saying, if you don't get this one, then the rest of them are going to be choked from you. The process by which I'm describing is going to choke all the rest of them from you. So get this one so that it will be an enlightenment for you for all of anything else that I'll ever teach you. Because he said, if you don't get this one, how then will you know all other parables? Meaning this, if you don't understand and get this into your heart, like Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you don't take on that mindset, what's going to happen is anything else that comes to you is going to be filtered through distraction and you're not going to be getting the full essence of it. See, I want to get everything that he says. But still, even now, how many of you know, we can all testify to this, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and your Papa speaks to you, and you're in that intimate moment, and the babies have stopped crying long enough that somehow you found that moment. It may have been days since you felt it. It was like a drink of water. You know, your body maybe stopped hurting long enough that you found that moment, and the Father spoke to you. The distractions of whatever trial you're going through, you're able to press in hard enough that, oh man, That sweet nectar of the Holy Spirit, that just beautiful oil of the Holy Ghost just engrafted your spirit. And yet, when He speaks, for the moment, it's as clear, it's so concise, it's so clear. But then the next day, the flesh wants to water it down. And you can't even hardly, you can remember it, and it still nurtures your spirit, but it's like it's been filtered through something. And you're like, oh God, it was so wonderful at the moment. I want you to rejuvenate it. I want you to make it real. And the only way to do that is to stay in a continual place of communion with the Holy Spirit. Because we're all fighting that shroud that the enemy uses, which is our flesh, to keep us from having this ongoing instruction. Now, the instruction comes by the what? Everybody say the Word. Hallelujah. Now, this is our main source of instruction. Prophecy is an instruction. Paul said to Timothy, he said that you should war, a good warfare based on the prophecies that were given to you. So if you know a man of God or a woman of God, and if you received a personal prophecy and it lines up with the Word of God, you can use it to encourage yourself and war against the enemy. But this is what we stand on, folks. Hallelujah. And this is why the distractions come. Look here. He says, the sower, verse 14, the sower soweth the word. And these are they that by the wayside, when the word is sown, it says where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan, who comes? Satan cometh, how quick? Man, that guy, he's relentless. But I tell you, I know somebody that's more, he's more personal, more relentless than this guy. Satan cometh immediately and to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Now, everybody get this straight. Listen to me for just a moment. Whatever comes at you to distract you is meant for one purpose. Remember what Paul said when he said this? He said, because of the abundance of my revelations, because I know the Word of God so strong, he said, the enemy has come to destroy me. This is the same thing that happens in every Christian's life, but Paul was at a place where he was just listening. He had gotten away. He had pressed past those places that a lot of us stop at and just become so involved in, and which is invited. We're all invited to go into that place. I don't know if you know this or not, but Paul, the Holy Spirit's hoping, Paul, if he could speak, is hoping that a bunch of us will exceed where he left off. But guess what? We'll probably get some of the same old. You don't want me to mention that part, do you? His grace is sufficient. The Word of God is always attacked by the enemy. And you know what happens? People that don't become good soldiers, they never break the cycle. They never break the cycle. Here's the cycle. The Word comes. See, however strong you are tonight is based on one thing. How long the Word has been able to maturate or mature inside of you without being abated and distracted and you having to start all over again. Now, there's nothing wrong with starting over. If you have to start 10,000 times, start over 10,000 times. But here's the thing. The consistency of you getting the Word in you and you start living in that Word and walking in that Word is what brings you to a place where the soldiership of your life, where the Holy Spirit can really use you, it's because that Word has grown to 30, 60, and then 100-fold. And if it gets any point cut off and reversed, because the Word can be reversed. You can go back, you can be living in 80 or 90% or 60%, and then you can get distracted. And a lot of people go through the cycle all over again. And listen, the cycle, if you go back to beginning square one and you start over, that's wonderful. But like I said before, jump starts or rabbit starts are not they're not the process of the kingdom of God. The process is a continual maturation, maturing of the Word of God in you on a continual basis where you say, I don't feel like this, but my feelings really don't have anything to do with it, do they? They're not supposed to. They're really not supposed to. Well, this is where he says, this is what the Word of God says. He comes immediately to steal the Word. Verse 16 describes everyone that hears the Word. He says, these are they that likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the Word, immediately receive it with what? Gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a what? A time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the what? Word's sake. These are they which are sown on, he says, so he continues to tell us these different classifications or different people who hear the Word of God, how it affects or doesn't affect their life. Again, worth repeating, verse 17, and have no root in themselves. They endure for a time, and afterward, because of affliction, oh, we don't like that. Persecution, we don't like that. Arises for the Word's sake immediately. They are offended. These are they, another group, which are sown among thorns, such as hear the Word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of what? Riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the Word, and it becometh what? Unfruitful. See, what you have here described, real simple, layman, vernacular, you have outies and innies. The outies are the persecutions and the afflictions. I don't like those, but they will kill the Word of God. Sickness, the enemy coming at your finances, distractions. I was on the Word. I was on the Word. I was going to church. I was getting strong. And then, you know, my body got afflicted. Then my finances got afflicted. And then, My husband wanted to divorce me, or my wife wanted to divorce me, or my children started going crazy. Those are outies. You hate those. You hate those. And you want them, you want to repel them. And those can choke the Word, but the very fact that there are things that you hate, a lot of people will survive those. The innies are the ones that are the lust of other things, the deceitfulness of riches. Those are the things that come not slapping you down, but bringing the enticement. But either way, they have one purpose. That is to wrap a shroud against your unexpecting mind to get you to be a soldier that says, I'm not going to be distracted by anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word that is sown is going to be attacked. This Word will be attacked. I hate to tell you that. I believe most of you will just fly by. Some of you may not have recognized that it was attacked. I don't know where you're at. The first group, he said, it come immediately. That means they weren't even able to get out of the parking lot with it. They forgot it. He says he took it that quick. They couldn't even remember it. Because they were still under such a distraction that, see, what do I got to do at 8 o'clock? I don't know what I got to do at 8 o'clock in the morning. At 9, I got to be there. And so I got to be there. And they couldn't even settle their mind down to where that he didn't take that. The good thing about that is they don't have to worry about the innies or outies. They just got beat up right to start with. They don't even know they're beat up. Maybe that's good. They don't even know they're distracted. Maybe that's good. I don't know. No, that's facetious. But the fact of the matter is, the next thing is, he's going to come at one of these other ways. But you have been empowered. That if the Holy Spirit can keep the Word of God in you, hallelujah! The Word will produce fruit. Verse 20, it will produce 30, 60. And really, this is not levels that you cease at. It is a progressive, continual process. It'll come to a hundredfold. You'll be a soldier standing there saying, look, this is what soldiers do. They fight. They're hardened. I can take this. I'm not going to cower down under it. The best way to get through it is just go ahead and face it and go forward. And it will produce, the Word will produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. And did you know, once the enemy begins to know that you won't back up, he will leave the premises. He will leave the proximity. When you sufficiently resist him, the Word of God says, submit yourself therefore unto God, resist the devil, and he will, what? Flee from you. A sober, stalwart, I mean, looking forward, I'm going forward, and he knows. He kind of knows by your voice. I'm telling you, get out of here, Satan. But what was it you was wanting to show me? He knows. I tell you to leave my body now in Jesus' name. Ring, phone rings. Hello, how you feeling today? Oh, God, I'm sick. He was walking out the door on the last statement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm blessed. Aren't you blessed? Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We're just going to get stronger and stronger. That's all. It's all stronger and stronger. Thank you, Jesus. I just lift my hands and I worship you, Father. Thank you, Father. Your kingdom come, thy will be done. And Father, we thank you that you've come to set us free. That your word is life, it's health and healing to those who receive it. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you. We can do nothing of ourselves. We can do all things through Christ. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to just study the Word. How many just enjoy just opening the Word and reading, just seeing those things? And, you know, just pray for me. And I'm praying for you. And I appreciate everybody that comes and your diligence in the Word and your diligence in prayer. And we get to it next week. We're going to look at it. You know, a lot of times we look at this thing and we say how impossible it really is in the natural. You know, it really is. And there are types, shadows, reflections out of the old that just answer some of those questions. You know, it's in the book of Judges, chapter 6, 7, 8. We look at an army there that God had 32,000 to fight and innumerable. They were innumerable. The Word of God says they were like grasshoppers. And they, like the sands of the sea, they could not be counted. And there's a process by which God evaluated and brought that army down to 300 men. And I think it's going to answer some questions for us as individuals about where that God counts authority at. You know, there's enough of us in here right now to cause a revival. 300 from 32,000 was less than 1%. And God can take less than 1%. And the effects of what we're going to look at is that once it began, it encompassed a whole nation. You know, once what starts here really begins, it's going to cause a lot of people to get on fire. Hallelujah. The people that are living on the fringes will be sucked into this. Hallelujah. I don't mind them living off of what we've prayed in. Do you? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. So, you able-bodied soldiers, men and women of God. Hallelujah. You just ask the Lord if He has something that you'd like to bless the church with and the going forward in this. I'll tell you, we're believing God, and God's the supplier in everything. He's the one that supplies the anointing. He's the one who supplies the sufficiency for our need. Hallelujah.